It's time for another edition of the Eagles Nest Podcast. Here's Dave Friedman with Winthrop coach Pat Kelsey.
Kelsey, the Eagles are 3-2 on the year. On Wednesday night at 6:30, they'll host the Paladins of Furman at the Winthrop Coliseum. There are tickets available at winthropeagles.com. Coach, yesterday against New Hampshire, the team suffered a tough loss, a tight, low-scoring affair. You've had a chance to go back and review the videotape. What was the difference in the game?
I thought New Hampshire was the better team. They got big stops and made big plays down the stretch, and you know they were definitely better in the last couple minutes of the game. But I think over the course of the game, we gave them many, many second opportunities. And I think at the end of the day, that was the story of the game. And that statistic, a lot of times, offensive rebounding, is a derivative of, you know, overall effort. And I really believe that. And you hate to say it, but, you know, you tip your cap to them. I thought they were the tougher team and they were the harder playing team on our home floor, which is obviously very disappointing. But the good news is we have a very quick turnaround, and we get to get back on the floor here again on Wednesday night to try to get back on track.
I asked Xavier Cooks before the game against New Hampshire how he would assess his play this year, and he called himself inconsistent. Obviously, he had a big game, 30 points against UNH. How important is any individual player, whether it be him or Keon Johnson, to your team's success?
Well, I think, you know, players are paramount. You know, this business and this game is based on players. You got to have good players. If you don't, I don't care how good of a coach you are, it doesn't matter. And you mentioned Xavier's has the chance to not just be a really good player, he's got a chance at the end of his career to be considered, I think, one of the great players in the history of this program. But he's, you know, like all of us, like everybody, he's still a work in progress. And you know, he played very, very well offensively for us last night, had 30 points, 8 rebounds, but I think if Zave was here today, he would tell you, and I think this could be said for everybody on our team, you know, from a defensive and from a rebounding standpoint, he and we could have been better as well. And, you know, Zave, what he said to you is who he is. You know, he's a very forthright kid. He's very honest. And you know, he knows he has a lot of work to do, but he's done some magnificent things throughout the course of his career. Heck, the shot he made at Illinois the other night was just a huge shot after a game that maybe he didn't play his best. So, you know, I give him a lot of credit for the progress he's made since he's come to Winthrop. And he's going to be a big, huge key for us as we move forward for the rest of the year.
You mentioned the Illinois game, a tremendous win, the first ever for Winthrop against a Big Ten opponent. And then the team came back to Rock Hill and celebrated Thanksgiving, and then the disappointing loss to New Hampshire. Do we, the media and the fans, get overly excited about one win and overly down against one loss? Or do you ride that roller coaster too?
Well, I can't speak for you guys. You're going to have to speak for how the media views things. And I know, in at least from a coaching perspective, you turn the page really quickly. It's just how we're wired. You know, it's a shame, but sometimes when you win, you're more relieved than you are, you know, than you are happy, if you know what I mean. So, obviously, that was a big win. And I knew as soon as I got on the bus and I start watching tape of New Hampshire that we had our hands full, and we sure did. You know, I think New Hampshire's an NCAA tournament team. I think they're a team that could win their conference, and they already have another, you know, statement win on the road against Temple. So I don't think – I think you disrespect New Hampshire by saying, hey, we fell off from the Illinois game, or we didn't play well, or we weren't ready to play. By saying something like that, it takes away from the performance of the New Hampshire kids and the job their staff did preparing them for the game. They came in and won the game. They took the game by the neck, and in big moments, they made the plays and got the stops and the rebounds that they needed to. So Coach Herring's a really good coach, and I tip my cap to him. And hopefully we can get that bad taste out of our mouth on Wednesday night against a very good Furman team.
You're five games into the season. It's really very early in a campaign that ends in late February or early March. Can you make any definitive statements about this team, things that are good, things that are bad, things you would like to change? What do you feel the culture of this team is? What do you feel the ability of this team is? Do you feel as though you've done what you expected to at this point?
Well, I expect to win every game. You know, I never have gone into a game saying, well, this one's a loss. I might as well not show up. So fact of the matter is very few teams go through a season undefeated. I think a couple UCLA teams did. I don't know. You know basketball history better than I do. So no, you're always disappointed, and you expect your team to play well and win every time you take the floor. Are we there? Are we a complete team? Are we finished product? Heck no. I don't think anybody is. I like to think our body of work over the last several years since we've been here at Winthrop with our staff is we progress as the season progresses and we get better. I can't say definitively that that'll be the case with this team, but I think past performance sometimes can be indicative of future results. So I like to think that the process that we follow throughout the course of the season and our attention to detail and it will result in another team that continues to grow and progress throughout the year, and we'll see. I think our guys responded and brought a lot of fire and intensity to practice today. They didn't come in hanging their heads and moping, and I think it'll result in hopefully a good performance on Wednesday night, hopefully in front of a really good crowd.
Winthrop 3-2, Furman 3-3. When we come back, we'll talk about the Paladins. You're listening to the Winthrop Sports Network.
We hope you're enjoying the Eagles Nest Pod. A friendly reminder, you can get tickets right now. Log on to WinthropEagles.com or call the ticket office at 803-323-2345. If you want to support everything going on in Winthrop Athletics, the Eagle Club would love your support. Call Karen Trunk for all the details at 803-323-2129, extension 6224. And don't forget, you can watch a ton of Eagle athletic events on the Big South Network. That's BigSouthSports.com. Basketball games air on the radio on 104.1 The Bridge. Thanks for checking out the pod.
Now back to the Eagles Nest Podcast.
Winthrop and Furman Wednesday night at the Coliseum. Game time is 6:30. There are tickets available. Log on to WinthropEagles.com. Furman 3-3 on the year. They've beaten a couple of non-D1 teams. They've also played very close against some quality opponents, losing to Georgia 84-78, among others. Head coach Nico Medved has led a program that has had some difficult times to 19 wins a year ago. And much like New Hampshire, coach, very good on the glass.
They are. They're a very, very potent offensive team. Going through the stats today when I was looking at when we began our scout, or obviously Marty McGillen, who has the scout, has been poring over stuff and watching tape for several weeks. But today is, you know, the first day I really devoted all my attention to Furman. They have a lot of weapons on the offensive end. I mean, I think they have four guys that are at or over 40% from three. They have some lineups with four guys on the floor that are 40% three-point shooters. They have a high-energy center post player that can score in the post, and that's a very, very good offensive rebounder. But they spread the floor on you. They push the ball very hard in transition. And, you know, we call them 40 spots, guys that are knock down 40% three-point shooters, and they got a couple guys that can really deck the ball and attack the basket as well, and really that's how they get their threes. They're one of the leading teams in the country in three-point percentage and the number of their total field goal attempts that are threes. So they space the floor, dangerous shooters, they attack you off the bounce, and they really are very, very difficult to guard because of that, and then they crash the glass as well, which is something that we have to clean up, as you could see from the New Hampshire game.
For a fan of your program, does Furman resemble any opponent from this year or last year that we might be more familiar with?
I would say not exactly like them, but I think some of the teams the last couple of years, like when Saw Nimley was at Charleston Southern, and gosh, who was that shooting guard they had? That was really, really Arlon Harper. And then they had two bigs, the Saunders kid that could really shoot it at the four, and then they had a three that could really shoot it, and then they had kind of like a high-energy big guy inside. They don't play the same exact style. Like Barclays teams the last several years were more dribble, drive-ish, if you know basketball parlance. But they run a little bit of a different system. But at the end of the day, their spacing with shooters and their ability to attack the paint and drive and kick for open threes is very similar to what you've seen out of some of the really good Charleston Southern teams the last couple of years. Play similar to us. You know, they space the floor. They got a lot of guys that can shoot the ball from the perimeter, and they try to attack you off the bounce as well. So offensively, a very, very, very dangerous group. You mentioned their schedule so far. They've played several non-ones, but, man, I watched that Georgia game, and they're right stinking there. But like I said, I mean, very, very potent offensive team.
This is the part of the schedule that you got to dictate. For better or for worse, the NIT sets the dates and the times of those games. So Furman is a new series for your program. Is it good to play teams that are kind of close by that people in Rock Hill are familiar with?
I think so. You know, you look at our opponent on Sunday, New Hampshire, who's a very good team and very well coached, but they don't have a lot of name. I mean, most people recognize the name New Hampshire. It's one of the 50 states and one of the 48 continental. They vote early and everything. But from a basketball perspective, it's not the type that's on the tip of the tongue of college basketball enthusiasts and fans in this area. And definitely Furman is. Furman's a school in our state, a phenomenal academic institution, and Nico's done a really good job with his program and building that thing back up, and he's got them rolling. So I hope that name recognition results in, you know, people deciding to spend their Wednesday evening here at the Coliseum with us.
When you go about scheduling, how much of it is a puzzle to find home games and road games, high majors and low majors, local opponents and people a little far flung? Like, we think so much about recruiting and X's and O's. How much of scheduling is what you do at some point in the year?
Yeah, scheduling is very, very important, and it's like recruiting. It's something that you have to do every single day, and it's not easy because so many times you're trying to put a square peg in a round hole where, you know, you have certain dates that are open and certain dates that aren't, and you're trying to match those up with other schools. And, you know, there's a monetary factor involved as well, especially at the mid-major level, where you have to do some fundraising with some of the high-major games that you play. So there's some negotiating involved, and you're trying to play more geographical games if possible so that your expenses are limited in terms of your travel to those places, so that your net revenue off of those guarantee games are as high as possible. That's one of the difficult things about the preseason NIT, was the difficult travel that we've had for three of the road games that cost a significant amount of money. So there's just so many factors that go into it, the competitive balance of who you play when and where you play them is very important as well. So, like I said, probably the two biggest, most important things to the lifeblood of a college basketball program, one is recruiting, and probably 1B is scheduling.
You have a dream team, Kansas or UCLA or Duke or someone you'd someday like to coach against?
I've coached at some pretty cool places already, and I've been blessed to be on some great staffs and some great basketball programs. And, you know, I've been to Fog Allen Fieldhouse. I've been to Cameron Indoor Stadium. I've never been to Pauley Pavilion. That, you know, that's the one that just popped into my mind. I don't know why. But, you know, that would probably be the one that comes to my mind out of the – I've been to Assembly Hall, not as a coach, but I've been there several times because it's right up the road from Cincinnati. Been to Rupp Arena, never coached there. That would probably be a pretty cool one as well.
Winthrop men's basketball team back in action Wednesday night against Furman. Tip time is at 6:30. We'll have pregame coverage on the radio beginning at 6 p.m. We'll talk to you next time on the Winthrop Sports Network.
Thanks for listening to the Eagles Nest Podcast. The pod is a production of the Winthrop Sports Network.